100 years ago, written in Syriac about the wise men. And supposedly they wrote it, which they probably didn't. But this fellow from the University of Oklahoma translated this article on the three wise men. And he said that the wise men were descendants of Shem. I hope I heard this right. I hope I did. They were descendants of Shem, the third son of Adam. It wasn't third son of Adam, or third son of Noah. And then it said, and of course, you know, they always have an agenda for what they do on ABC News. And he said, and this article said how Christ had appeared unto men many times before, and whatever that would mean. Of course, we know the theophanies in the Old Testament. And of course, then this fellow said, and I interpret that to mean that Jesus is the author of all the different religions of the world. And so it's amazing how they use scholars that are quite ignorant to present their own agenda, which is really anti-Christian. You know, I think it was about 30 years ago, they took a survey of all news commentators. You know, anybody who works for the media and the that area, and they found out that 90% of the news media had no religious affiliation. None, they did not go to any kind of church at all. So, if you believe that people what they say comes out of who they are, then think about that. Everything that they are saying is all coming out of who they are, and they are certainly at the most maybe agnostic, if not an atheistic persuasion. Okay, well, let's have some prayer to get today, and let's have Mr. Young Knipple lead us in prayer. Good to have you here.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather in your house, Lord, and learn from your word. And Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can remember, Lord, when you came to this earth, Lord, and humbled yourself, Lord, and made yourself, Lord, a sacrifice for us. And we just thank you for that. Lord, I just pray that you would bless this time now together, and that you would just open our Lord, as we hear teaching from your word,
Lord, pray
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, amen. We are going to, we're just kind of following up. A few weeks ago, we had basically a lesson on some principles of raising a godly seed. And last week, we talked about the importance of the Lord's Day. And, you know, I guess I want to reemphasize the principle that we're dealing with. There is a whole difference between having a nice child who is Christian, with broad terms, versus a child who is a part of the godly seed. Really, the difference is that the godly seed is going to produce a seed that will stand for God the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Now, we realize that there are also degrees of that, and we would hope and we would desire that a true godly seed would one that would be always going against the tide and not gradually going down with the tide of life. And And as a parent, even as grandparent, or one who has influence on people, this is a very important principle. Doesn't happen by accident. It never happens in a mediocre, run-of-the-mill, take-it-easy Christian home. Never happens, except by God's intervention. But it really does happen on purpose in a family that really decides to do that. Okay, and today I'd like to talk about a subject that I think is important. I talk about entertainment. Okay, now when we talk about entertainment, I guess we're going to talk about, first of all, from a standpoint of Christian entertainment. And because I want to talk about entertainment in general, okay? And what is the problem with the whole idea of entertainment, okay? And maybe you can be with me for a couple minutes and just kind of think, well, what is the problem of entertainment? Let's just say the entertainment is okay. Let's say that maybe it's positive. Okay? What's the problem with entertainment? Do you see any problem with entertainment? What I mean by entertainment is, okay, you know, we're going to watch a Christian video tonight. Do you see any potential problem with entertainment? That's how we're going to, this is what we're basically dealing with. And what is entertainment? Actually, what it is somebody or something is doing something to entertain us, to occupy our mind, occupy our thinking, to give to us something that entertains us. You know, it. You know, you talk about entertaining the kids. Okay, some people entertain their kids with the TV. Okay, whatever. But it's really the idea of being fed something. Okay, we're sitting there and we're being fed something. Okay, and we're going to deal with this from what is acceptable to the principles involved and why I feel it can be dangerous. Now, these are not necessarily in order. But danger, number one, subtly feeds the flesh. You know, we all want this entertainment. You know, that could be whatever it is. I talked to a young man. I was at Tim Turner's wedding, and he said, you know, there's all sorts of guys on campus. We call them gamers. And here they are, college young people, and they're spending all this time with, I don't know if it's their phone or their whatever, and they're playing games. They're playing games for hours on end. Okay? Now, are games wrong? Huh?
Depends on the game.
Okay. But what is happening? There's a subtle feeding of the flesh.
I think it makes people
lazy. Okay? Okay? Okay, and I say it's a subtle feeding of the flesh because, just like the Bible says, the eye of man is never satisfied. The flesh is never satisfied. It's the very rare person who can say, okay, let's watch this Christian video, okay, and that's it. Okay, they put it down, That's the rare person. The average person, they watch Christian video, and then the next time they have a break in their time, let's watch a video. And what is it? It's something that just becomes a, they want more and more and more and more. That's the problem. And it's real. It's a real thing. It becomes something that it demands more entertainment. You know what? That's the flesh. The flesh demands more, even if it's okay. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later of how this works. Number two, it lessens the normal stimulation of the mind, especially when on a continual basis. It lessens the normal stimulation of the mind. Okay? So, how did people live 1,000 years ago? Or how did people live in the Bible time? Without, you know, media. How do they live? Okay? Is there a big difference between the stimulation of your mind from always being fed something? Now, I admit, you know, you can watch, I think of different Christian videos, and they're quite stimulating. You know, you think about things, and you have rehearsed those scenes in your mind. And I've watched Sheffy a number of times, and I always remember Sheffy. I learned a great truth from Sheffy. And Sheffy, that video, it tells us that when truth is lost, it is forever lost. That was the theme of Sheffy. That when truth is lost, it's lost forever for that generation. I mean, there's a great truth. Now, maybe you saw that video and never saw or got the truth that it was teaching. That was the focus of the video. So it can be stimulating. But typically, people's minds need to be stimulated on their own. How do you get your mind stimulated on your own? Huh? Oh, you see, there's the opposite. Because rather than having something feed you, what do you have to do? You have to work. You see what I'm saying? There's the danger. Feed versus what? Make your mind work. Okay? And, you know, there's probably a parallel. The child who likes to be entertained probably has a hard time studying for tests. They probably have a hard time. They probably don't do well at tests and excelling at tests because, you know, tests have to do with making your mind think. And you know, it doesn't happen by accident. The mind has to be made to think, because the sinful nature, the mind doesn't think want to think on its own. You have to make it think. You have to force it to think. And that's work. Okay. So we have this problem with this need to have our mind learn how to stimulate itself rather than to be stimulated. Okay? Now, when you think about that, okay? When you have your mind stimulated by someone else, that can be a problem, can't it? Especially if you don't know who they are. That's a real problem, right? Stimulated by someone who you don't know who they are, what their agenda is, what they stand for. Oh, wow. Okay. Number three is a simple thing. Takes away time from developing positive character traits and skills. Okay, well, that's a real issue. Takes away time. Okay? Now, you know, what you can talk about entertainment is, you know, here you can have a situation where you know, there's a constant urge to watch a video. There's a constant urge to play a game. There's a constant urge to have this other influence on your mind. This all takes time, doesn't it? Well, also we said it's already time that is taking away from stimulation of your mind, from you stimulating your mind, but it also is taking away the whole pursuit of excellence. You know, there's only so much time in a day, right? And that time can be robbed so easily, can't it? And so what do we do in that time? Instead of rather developing our life, we are losing our time. Okay? Number four, lessens inhibitions. How many people, when they sit down to be entertained, say, now, I'm not going to let anything come into my mind that's wrong? How many people do that? No, the very active entertainment is the idea of, I have made a decision to sit there and let all this stuff come right at me. Right? Now, I'm not talking, we haven't even gotten into the bad stuff, okay? We're trying to talk on a positive standpoint, but we're talking about the issues involved, okay? We're saying the minute you plop yourself down into some kind of entertainment, and which is a subtle, you know, I want to enjoy. Okay? When we get that into that mode, okay, guess what? Now we have cut off the normal guard of life. We've cut off that guard, okay? And so now, what have we allowed? We have now given permission for everything to come to us that is thrown at us, okay? That's a dangerous position to be in when you have put yourself in a place where you have cut off, you know, your control and your guard and your blockage. And, you know, and so, and we all can do this, you know, in so many different ways, whether even something innocent like, you know, finding out the news on the computer. There is an automatic there breaking down of the inhibitions. Okay? Now, we'll go a little bit broader than this. Now, so what happens? Now there's this free flow of thinking and philosophy that's coming into our mind. That's what's happening. Because we've blocked off the guard. You know, we don't want to have a negative experience, right? You want to enjoy yourself, right? And so you don't want to have negative experience, and you don't want this to be work, because you're not being entertained you're entertained because you don't want to work, right? And so if you're going to sit there and analyze everything that is coming at you, you aren't going to enjoy it, because your mind just has to be working, and you're going to have to be thinking, and you're going to have to really be at double time, and that's not the purpose of entertainment. Okay, so now you have You have all these thoughts and philosophies in your that are coming at your mind. Okay? And there's no guard. Okay? Now, if there's a free flow of thinking that comes into somebody's mind, guess what? Now it's stored there, isn't it? It's stored there in some sense permanently. Unless that they take time to let the Word of God filter that out, et cetera, but for most people, all that stuff now, it comes into the mind, and now, guess what? It's stored there permanently. Okay? So, if it's stored there permanently, then what is the long-term result? Your mind flashes back to it all the time and you don't even know it. Because what is our thinking? That's a good question. What is our thinking made up of? Does it, you know, do you ever think about that? What is your thinking made up of?
Images.
Huh?
Images. Images that you see.
Yeah. Your thinking is the sum total of everything that has entered into this mind. They say the mind is the greatest computer ever made. And it's all stored there. Do you know what's stored there? Is your short, long-term memory able to tell you what's stored there? No.
I think some of those thoughts help you justify sin.
Mm-hmm.
Or making it'll help you justify making a wrong decision or sin.
Mm-hmm. Now, just have to think about this, man. Our thinking is a result of the sum total of criteria that's up in our brain. Okay? Now, so we can have all this thinking in our head, we don't even know that it's there. But because we allowed it to come into there, and in life it was there, now it's there. So why does a person think the way they think? It's because of everything that they've experienced in life now is the process of their thinking. Okay? Now, so obviously that's why we need the Bible. Obviously, salvation brings our mind to a spiritual understanding of truth. And Jesus said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Okay, but so let's talk about, you've heard me give this illustration. So what's wrong with, I'm ancient, okay? Okay, what's wrong with the best of Walt Disney? What's wrong with the best? Yes?
Christ has left out.
Okay, Walt Disney at best was an agnostic. And I saw the films as a boy, Old Yeller. I don't know, is Lassie Come Home? Is that one of his? Some of those, a dog one, you know, a couple dog ones. And you know, guess what? It was just wonderful. You know, every kid after watching that movie, they wanted a collie. You know, because life was so, that was the epitome of life, is having that dog and having that kind of a dog. And you could go on and on. But what was he doing? He was giving a very subtle message of how good life can be without God. Now, tell me, is that the truth? Is life good without God? No. And he prepared the way for secular America. No need for church, no need for God, no need for holiness. We have a nice, so-called nice little family, no need for God, and it's going to be happy forever and ever and ever. And you know, the people of the 50s and the 60s bought that bill of goods, and you know, that was another one of the ingredients of the rebellion of the late 60s. And the secular world was built on Walt Disney and those wonderful films that you don't need God. And of course, if you know anything about Walt Disney, he certainly believed in what? Magic. Okay? And so, what I'm saying is you have all this thinking that puts into your mind. Now, the question is, okay, if a child, let's just say a child is in church 4 hours a week. And let's just say that they watch good TV or videos 4 hours a week. Who's going to win? We're already at neutral time, aren't we? And visual, boy, is very powerful, isn't it? Visual is very powerful. And so just a few hours in this entertainment mode has a tremendous effect of neutralizing the positive. And on the other hand, teaching terrible philosophies, okay? I know you've heard me say this, but everybody ought to need to read that book, Seven Men That Rule the World from the Grave. And it tells us that American culture, Americans, their mind is filled with the thoughts of these godless men like Freud and Darwin and Marx and others, Kierkegaard, all these godless men. And if you read what they wrote, you say, you know what? That's why we think the way we think. And all of a sudden you realize that we aren't so much of a person as we think we are. We're more like a victim. We're more like a victim of all the things that are around us, and somebody else is controlling our thinking when really we think we're thinking on our own. And why do most Americans think the way they think? It isn't, you know, people didn't think this way 300 years ago. Did you know that? Okay. Number five, can become addictive. Knowing not to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Okay? Entertainment in per se is an addictive behavior. I shouldn't say that. It can become addictive. It's, in other words, does everybody who drinks a bottle of beer, do they become a drunkard? No. But alcohol has an addictive character. Wine is a mocker. That's how God describes it. It has an evil character. Okay? Now we need to understand the principle of addiction. Okay? Now, obviously, everybody knows TV is very addictive, right? You know, a person can say, I'm going to watch a half hour, and 3 hours later, they turn it off. A person can, most Americans, they have the TV on all day long. I mean, just something a part of their life. They can't think of. I mean, I remember talking to someone, and they says, "You don't have a TV." I mean, they couldn't comprehend life without, you know, the TV going all day long. All right? And just like we talked about this, you know, and this kind of goes along with it. Cell phone use for young people, texting. It's a form of entertainment. That's what it's become. It's very addictive.
It's almost like it becomes their God.
Try to take it away.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Woo. Yeah. You know, you never know the power of anything until you try to take it away. Then you know the power. Okay? Then you know really the forces that are at work. If a parent says, "I can't take it away," they know they are fighting something that's bigger than them, and in some cases, figuratively, bigger than God. Because God they won't listen to God either to get rid of it. And those things fit into that, you know, addictive behavior. And so the addictive part is, I want to be fed. I want to be entertained. I want. And just, it becomes a demand. Okay? Now, when we talked about lowering the inhibitions of entertainment, now add to it addictiveness. Okay? Let's put a simple formula. What happens when you run out of Christian videos? And when you watched them five times, okay, what happens?
Well, most people go to the library and see what's good there that they
have. Oh, okay. They go to the library and they go and see what's good there. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, that goodness is becoming very broad. Okay? And then what's the next step? She said, "The goodness is gone." You go to the next step. Okay? Borderline. Right? It's a progression. It's always a progression. Unless God intervenes, it's a progression. Okay? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's where it becomes very addictive. They were upset with their child and they were on TV for a week.
Yeah. They were just reflecting what it would be like if they couldn't watch it for a week.
It was hard for them to write their three verses.
Yeah, real hard, wasn't it? Yeah. The mind has a hard time being stimulated because the mind wants to be stimulated by outside rather than internal. Okay, and of course, number six is can pave the way for sinful entertainment. The flesh wants more. Of course, the scripture says the eye is never satisfied. Okay, now, you know what? There are plenty of Christian young people on the shelf. We call maybe the scrap heap right now. Who at one time wanted to serve God. And aren't serving God right now, preparing to serve God right now, and there's one good reason, and that is because of entertainment. One thing led to the next. And and what happened in the process? Okay, so Christian videos. Okay, now movies on TV. Now movies from the library. Next step, movies at the movie house. I can tell you that Christian colleges are full of young people. Fundamental Christian colleges, young people going to the movie houses. Why? Inhibitions. You know, it starts off in the home, right? And pretty soon it develops into, hey, no problem. No problem. Yeah, you know, it's always a progress. And you know, we fail often as Christians, and that's that, you know, sometimes that helps us help our kids because we know what failure is like. And now we begin to see the powers that we're wrestling with, if we're honest. But this is how it happens. And of course, what happens is something that happens spiritually is the conscience is defiled. The conscience is defiled, and the conscience doesn't scream anymore. And it has to be something really, really bad for the conscience to scream. Okay? So what does 1 Timothy 1:19 say? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, I'm trying to remember the verse. What's the verse, Thomas? Which some, what is it? What is it? Which some having put away. That's talking about the conscience. Concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And what the Bible is teaching is before people begin to deny the faith, they lose their conscience. And entertainment is probably the number one avenue that people lose their conscience. And then, along with that, they are going to lose their convictions. And in the context of 1 Timothy, it talks about Hymenaeus and, right? What does it say? What does it say about Hymenaeus?
Delivered to Satan.
Yeah. Okay. And they departed from the faith. Okay. So we have the process. Okay. And that process has many different stages. But it has a, okay, let me ask a question. Okay. Let me ask a question. Just a general question. Do you think the young Christian young people, do you think that they have a sense of rising up and being strong, even stronger than their forefathers? Or is there a weakening influence out there? There's a weakening influence. And you know why? Thinking. We live in a very evil world, and that has an effect on thinking. Okay? Tremendous effect on thinking. And what can you do if your thinking has been affected? You can't, what can you do about it? I mean, we know there's something that can be done, But when a person's thinking has been affected, they usually don't think well enough to do something about it. Yes?
You know, I think we would say, the Bible says that the wicked and the love of violence, God's soul hated, so obviously violence is bad. And we wouldn't watch, you know, some violent thing where I have all these people killing each other. Do you think that it's acceptable to watch something where instead of people doing it, it's cartoon animals that are continually being violent and fighting each other, as long as they're not mice and ducks and stuff, and then that's actually okay to be violent?
Thomas, do you think it's okay for people on a video game to be killing, you know, ducks or mice or...
Well, I was thinking about cartoons, actually.
Cartoons, okay. No, I think it's the same principle. Because you know why? Because when you see something, your mind is stimulated in that same way. Okay, when a person sees, I don't know what the new ones say, but when a person sees Bugs Bunny, okay, and Bugs Bunny has got the frying pan or the sawed-off shotgun, and, you know, he's blowing whoever's head off, you know, whatever cartoon it is, you're still experiencing that. You're still experiencing that.
Yeah, I would wonder if we should think that it's funny to see somebody's head get blown off.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, in reality, that's a very gruesome thing, to see someone's head blown off. And, yes.
I think most of us have gotten rid of the television set because we see those dangers. I find myself, even going to Thomas's site, and I've got this thirst for all this information on the computer. And you can get anything. You get Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can sit. So I found myself eating and reading at the same time. And then George told me, oh, they're going to charge for the internet. And I thought, oh, I can't get rid of my internet. So, but now, you know, I mean, take it. I'm not paying for it. But there's a, I don't think we're drawn that much to TV. You know about TV.
Mm-hmm.
Now
it's the computer. Well, yeah, it's a very drawing thing, isn't it? And we can, even in its innocency, we can think about our time. We can think about the issue of self-stimulation. We can think about, okay, you know, what about prayer? What about my thoughts for winning people to Christ? You know, what about these things? Well, it could be. It could be, you know. We have to be aware of all these factors, okay? I mean, I've seen some of these blogs, and I'm not much on blogs because I say, how in the world do these preachers have this time to spend all this time to write this and then write this and then write this and write this? You know, boy, that's the truth, boy. There's other things I could say about that, but yes. And of course, here's where the blogging and the texting, and that kind of stuff comes through. People, you know, if you're talking to somebody, you're going to be more guarded at what you say. But if you're texting or you're blogging, you've lost a degree of that inhibition. And people, because it's, you know, that person isn't right there, they feel more liberty to say things that they would never say. And people become very bold saying things that they ought not to say. And, you know, people say, well, you should, when you see somebody, you should just say whatever you think. Is that what the Bible says? Nope. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And so it means that whatever we say to someone should be guarded. And we have to, but again, we talked about the forces that are out there that say, no, you can just say what you want. I remember I was on this one site one day. I don't remember what it was. And it was supposed to be a fundamental site. And I read a couple things of what these preachers said, and I said, that's just plain pollution. I thought to myself, if I was a college student and I read what those guys said, that would have permanently affected my mind. It's sad. Okay, because there's, again, we're dealing with this inhibition problem. Number seven, we just already talked about this, takes away time and desire for Bible reading, prayer, and witnessing. You know, there's a real issue there. These things take away our time. Number eight is, think of normal life in history. Think of normal life in history, and what would life be in normal? You know, there was this, I realize this is out of date because we're talking about a whole different things that are in people's lives today. But, you know, certainly TV could be a representative of media. And actual history. In 1990, there was a town in Canada that never had TV. Because the mountain ranges, and they were so far away that they didn't have any TV. And it was like the ideal town. Low divorce rate, low crime rate, you know, very few, very little trouble in the schools. You know, kids were hardworking, et cetera, et cetera. And then they had satellites. And now that town was so excited to get TV. And within 10 years, they could see the huge, the dropout rate in high school, the immorality rate, the rate of divorce, the rate of crime. Everything was just exploding in just 10 years. Now, so just think of what life was like, 200 years ago, without all of this inputs. Okay? I love the cell phone. I mean, I don't know if I think it saves a lot of time, but I don't know. But, what would life be like without these things? Boy, you know what? You had to do a lot more planning ahead when you didn't have some of those things. Right? You had to do a lot more organizing of your life. And, of course, that's a whole different issue. But there are dangers there. And the issue is, okay, have we allowed those dangers to come into our life? What are we going to do about it? Yes. Okay, let's turn there.
I call that the TV or media psalm. Directly with these issues.
Psalm 101, that's a good verses to close on. It's the media psalm. Okay? Verse number 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. There's a good phrase, isn't it? Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within mine house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. There's quite a statement, isn't it? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Now, we talked about the problem with entertainment and these things is the breakdown of inhibitions. Notice the psalmist, what's the opposite of the lack of inhibition? Guard, and willpower. He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Instead of giving up his will and giving in to whatever comes into being fed into his brain, said, I am resolved what I'm going to do. I am going to behave myself wisely. I'm going to think. That's what he's saying, isn't he? And then he says, I've resolved not to set any wicked thing before mine eyes. That would be, I think that is, a great text that probably, if every one of us made that resolve, our life would be completely different, especially in this day, right? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Yes. Yes, and you know what the problem is? After a while, we stop covering it up. Because of the whole process here, isn't it? And so we are not going to live for God in this world accidentally. It will only be on purpose.
Some filters will cover up ads that are bad.
They never cover up all that needs to be. Okay, time is up. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time to think about life and to clearly recognize, Lord, that your word has really the answer. An answer that is clear cut. An answer that requires our will. An answer that requires action. And Lord, as we think of our lives and our families, I pray that in our own hearts that we will deal with resolve about, even as David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.